Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Samech Dalid. This morning's daf has been dedicated anonymously in honor of Rav David Katz of Katz Judaica. Katz Judaica on 632 Kings Highway in Brooklyn, 718-375-7272. We want to acknowledge that Rav David Katz is the supplier of all our Gemariot art scroll for the Daf HaYomi in our Shi'ur, Tiskei L'Mitzvot, Katz Judaica.
Today's daf has been dedicated to Ilu Nishmat, Acham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanichem b'Gan Eden. Amen. We are going to begin on Samech Gimal Amud Bet. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines before they get wide.
Ba'amine Rav Oshaya Merabi Ami.
Rav Oshaya asked the question from Rabbi Ami.
En lo leshochet.
Let's say the shochet, the Korban Pesach, he doesn't have hametz in his possession.
Ve'yesh lo le'echad b'bnei habura.
But one of the members of the group has hametz. Mahu. What is the deen? Are they over on the Isur of Lot Teshchat al Hametz, Dam Zevchi? Now, what was simple to the Gemara above is being questioned now by Rav Oshaya. Because if you remember the Gemara above in yesterday's daf, the Gemara clearly on the top line said, Ol Le'ehad B'Bnei Habura. Meaning, even if one of the members of the group of the Korban Pesach has Hametz in his possession, they're over. Now he's asking the question that the Shochet himself didn't have, but the Bnei Habura have. So he questioned this.
Amar leh. So the Gemara says, Mi ketiv lo teshchat al chemsecha?
Does it say that the person is not allowed to be shochet with his hametz in his possession? It doesn't say chemsecha. It says lo teshchat al hametz. Which is mashma that even if the shochet himself doesn't have, but somebody else does have, they'll be over.
Lo teshchat al chametz ketiv.
It just says chametz.
Amar le iacher.
If that's the case,
afilu leechad besof haolam
name. So you're going to tell me that maybe if somebody has chametz, a Jew on the other side of the world, the guy who's shochet the Korban Pesach also going to be over? Doesn't say it's chametz. Anybody's chametz. So how far are you going to take this?
Amar le amar kera lo teshchat velo yalin.
Which means, there's two pesukim that are next to each other. Lo teshchat al chametz, do not slaughter the Korban Pesach when you have chametz in your possession. And it says velo yalin, meaning you're not allowed to leave from the Korban Pesach over until the morning. So the Gemara now makes a connection between these two pesukim.
Lo teshchat al chametz, who is obligated in lo teshchat al chametz? Hanach dekayme aleh mishum lo yalin.
Anybody that's subject, Velo Yalin, right, at the end of the Pasuk. Anybody that's subject to Lo Yalin is subject to Lo Teshchat Al Chametz. Now the only people that are subject to Lo Yalin is who? The people that are part of the Korban. Mm-hmm. And therefore, only people that are part of the Korban, as opposed to some guy on the other side of the world, if he has Chametz in his possession, the Shechet is not going to be Hayav.
Correct, the entire Pasuk is Lo Teshchat Al Chametz Dam Zevchei Velo Yalin Laboker.
So therefore, from the fact that the end of the pasuk says loyalin, it means only those that are loyalin are subject to lo teshchat al chametz.
Amar papa hilkach. Therefore,
kohen hamaktir et ha'chaylev. The kohen, he's not even part of the group. He's just a kohen that's involved in bringing the fats of the korban on the mizbeach.
Over ve'lo ta'aseh.
He's over on lo ta'aseh. I mean, if he has hametz, in his possession at the time that he's bringing the halev of the Korban Pesach, he's going to be over on Lo Tishchat Al Chametz. Why? Hoil v'yishno bichlal halanat emurim. Because the Kohen also has a halakha that says he's not allowed to leave over from the meat of the Korban Pesach overnight. Meaning he has to burn the fats on the Mizbeach. So he's also subject to Lo Yalin. So therefore, by saying this chidush, you've included now somebody that's really not part of the group, but is subject to Lo Yalin, therefore he'll be subject to Lo Tishchat. So basically, Rav Hoshaya answered this question, that somebody from the Bnei Habura, from the group that has Chametz, he causes the Shochet to be over, and even the Maktir, who's the Kohen, also. However, somebody on the other side of the world is not Shayach to the Korban. Why? Because he's not Shayach to Lo Yalin, right? Because he's not subject to the Korban over here, therefore he's not subject to Lo Tishchat Al Chametz. Tanya kivated Rapapa. We're going to bring a brayta to support Rapapa that tells me that even the Kohen that's Maktir the Chaylev is going to be Hayav if he has Chametz in his possession. So comes the Gemara and says, Ashochet et a Pesach ala Chametz. That's a straight case. A guy slaughters the Korban Pesach and he has Chametz in his possession over Belotase. Ematai bizman shehu leshochet, either it belongs to the shochet himself, or lezorek, like we learned earlier, that even zirika, meaning the one that's sprinkling the blood, is subject to the law of lo tishchat al hametz, even though the pasuk is lo tishchat. But there's another pasuk that says dam zibhi. So from the word dam, they include even the sprinkler of the dam is subject to this law. Or for that matter, anyone that's a member of the group that has chametz is subject to the law. But let's say there was some Jew at the end of the world that had chametz in his possession. You're not obligated. He doesn't restrict you. Whether it's the slaughterer, hayav. So there you go. Clearly you have a statement that's telling you now that the Maktir, which is the Kohen, if he has Hametz in his possession, he is over. Why? Like we explained, because he's subject to Lo Yalin. Because he cannot, as the Kohen, he cannot leave the Korban overnight. He's got to make sure it goes on the Mizbeah. And the Braita goes on to say, Hamolek Eta'of Be'arba'asar. Somebody that makes Milika on an off. As we learned, certain people that bring a korban, their korban consists of a bird. The bird is not slaughtered. The bird is actually killed by the Kohen taking his long fingernail, thumbnail, and piercing the back of, piercing the neck of the animal. It's called melika. So the Gemara is telling you that if, let's say, somebody would bring a korban on Erev Pesach, if you remember, we learned certain people were allowed to bring a korban after the korban tamid, even though we said after the korban tamid shel ben arba'in, there's no korban not brought except for korban pesach. But we said somebody was mechosad kipurim. I mean, let's say a metzora or a zav or a yoledet that they forgot to bring their korban at the end of their process before the olat tamid, and if they don't bring the korban now, they're not going to be able to eat korban pesach. So therefore, we said that they were allowed. Now, some of the korban that's brought is a korban ha'of. So the question is, when they're bringing their korban ha'of, and they have chametz in their possession at that time, are they over? So the Braita clearly says, "Aval amolek et ha'of ba'arba asar eno over pelo kelum." There's no law of lo tishchat al chametz by melika. Let's read the Rashi. Aval amolek et ha'of. Shil mechosar kipurim. That's somebody that's lacking kapara. Damirim perkim, we learned earlier in the perek. The kasher lakraba ahar tamid. Shuzman shchitat pesach eno over alav mishum lo tishchat al chametz. Ulkaman mukila kerabi Shimon. Later on, the Gemara is going to tell us who's the author of this statement. It's actually going to be the Tanna Rabbi Shimon. The mechayev dami ashar zevachim b'moed, which means Rabbi Shimon normally holds that any korban Korban Shilamim, for example, that you bring on the Mu'ed itself, if you have Hametz in your possession, you're all there. He just holds that on Erev Pesach, the only Korban that you're over on Lo Tishchat is Pesach. So he makes a difference between Erev Pesach and the rest of the days. Erev Pesach, there's no Korban that's going to be subject to the law except Pesach. Why? Because it's the Zman of Pesach. Mashi'ekin on the Mu'ed, it's not the Zman of Pesach anymore. Therefore, all other Korbanot come into the picture. So really, when the Gemara gave an example of milikata off, that's only an example. For that matter, even a behemah that's brought on Erev Pesach is not going to be subject to Lo Tishchat al Hametz. Only a Korban Pesach, but everything else, no. So that she says, the mechayev the meashaz zevahim b'moed ba'ach, atama lefotram mishub diyudalid lo mechayev ale ashar zevahim. The rule over is because on Yudalid you're not over it. Other times it's Korbanot. The of the nakat, and that example that the Gemara chose as a bird, lavdavka. This is an example. Ela mishum de en derech leshchot shum korban bezman shchaitat pesach v'dainu achar chatzot ela korban shum bechosar kipurim kedesh shiyechot peschol ha'erev v'rubayu of maitinan zav zavayu ledet afilu ashirim o mesora ani. The Gemara is giving you the example of prevalent. Most korbanot you can't bring after Chatzot on Erev Pesach. The only ones you can bring is the Mechosar Kippurim. Zav, Metzora, Yoledet, and the majority of those Korbanot are off. So therefore it chose that as the example. Good. Bottom line, we prove positive that the Mektir, that's the one that's the queen that's bringing the Halev, if he has in his possession Hametz, he is Oved. So comes the Gemara and says, Udminhi, you just brought me a braita. I'm going to bring you another braita that has a contradiction over here. Udminhi, a contradiction. Hashuchet et haPesach al haHametz over belo ta'aseh. Guy has Hametz in his possession, he's over. Rabbi Yehuda omer, af haTamid. If you remember, Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah said, even if they slaughtered the Korban Tamid Shemena Arbaim, and there was Hametz in the possession of the Kohen, so therefore it's going to be over. So comes the Gemara and says, Amru lo. So they told the Biuda, Lo Amru Ela bePesach Bilvad. No. This law was not said by any item, it was only said by Pesach. Ematai Bizman Chiesh La Shochet O La Zorek. And only if the Shochet has Hametz, the Zorek has Hametz, or one of the members of the group. Again, somebody on the other side of the world has? Not responsible for it. V'had ha-Shochet, v'had ha-Zorek, v'had ha-Molek, that's Melikat Ha'of, v'had ha-Mazeh Hayav. Right away, Estira. Shochet, no problem. Zorek, we understand. But now it's saying Molek is Hayav. We just said the guy that makes the Melikata off, it's not subject to the law. V'had ha-Mazeh. Now we also included just now another person that's subject to Mazeh. That's the one that sprinkles the blood. Mm-hmm. If he has Hametz also in his possession, he's going to be Ovid. Yeah. Now, how do we know that, incidentally? What's the source for the Mazeh? So that she right away tells us, V'had ha-Mazeh, three lines at the bottom, Middama, Kedichtiv, V'hizza, Middama, Chatat, U'chatat ha'of ka'eh. V'hach sefa, Dematro, De'ovir, Af b'shar korbanot, Rami lekaman, Aresha, Dektani, Lo amru ela Pesach bilvad. Which means, from the fact that it says over here now, for example, V'had ha-Mazeh, that means the one that's sprinkling its mashma, any of the korbanot. Not only korban Pesach. Now, that's already a contradiction of something that we learned as well. Because we said, as a matter of fact, we said in the beginning of this Braita, that on the 14th, you're only over on Lo Tishchat, on Korban Pesach. Now you're telling me, Echad ha-Mazeh, meaning any blood that's sprinkled on any Korban. So there's a stira in the Braita itself. Look at the Braita, the first words of this Braita from the Urminu, Hashochet et ha-Pesach al ha-Hametz, over belo ta'aseh. it's mashma only Pesach. At the end of the Braita, you tell me, which is mashma including any type of Qurban. That's a stira on its own. The second stira that we just came into contact with now is the Maktir. Meaning, you told me, I'm sorry, okay, we didn't get to that stira yet. The Molek. You told me in Braita number one, Milika is not subject to Lotishat, and now you tell me the Molek is Hayav. Continue the Braita, you'll see a third contradiction. Aval hakometz et haMincha. That's the Kohen. That's taking the portion of the flour offering and putting it on the Mizbeach. Maktir kometz et haMincha. Eno over belo ta'aseh. Okay. You're not over on lo ta'aseh. HaMaktir et haEmurim. Or the one that's bringing the fats on the Mizbeach, in over belo ta'aseh. Now, I understand why kimitzah is not subject, because kimitzah is not shechita. But that says, lo tushchat al chametz. The guy that's making kimitzah is just taking with his hands some of the flour offering. Good. So, chametz, not shayach. However, you just told me, ha-chametz et ha-emurim in over. But the first bright that said clearly, that the chametz, the kohen, that, I'm sorry, the maktir, that brings the fats on the Mizbeach is over. So technically you have over here three different stirot in these braitot. Stira from milika to milika, stira from haktara to haktara, and a stira in the braita itself. That the braita is mashma at the beginning, only korban pesa is subject on yudalid, and from the end of the braita it's mashma. Mazeh, meaning any Qurban is subject to Lo Tishchat. So the Gemara is going to have to answer all these three questions. The Gemara is going to answer one of the five. Kasha Milika Amilika. Kasha Haktara Haktara. Good. So you have a stira on Milika to Milika, Haktara to Haktara. So the Gemara says, V'dita'amech. According to you, that's asking questions. Tikshilach Higufa. Ask on the Braita itself. Diktani lo amru ela bePesach bilvad. So the Braita says the law only applies to what? Pesach. Remember in the Braita when the Yehuda came along and included the Tamid? So what did the rabbis tell him back? No, it's not said by any other Korban except by Pesach. Good. Vehadar tani. And then what does it say at the end of the Braita? Echad haShochet, v'had haZorek, v'had haMolek, v'had haMazeh, which is mashma even by other korbanot. Ela, so the Gemara is going to reconcile everything. Ha v'ha Rabbi Shimon. Both braitot are Rabbi Shimon. Milika amilika lokasha. No stira from milika to milika. Why? Kan v'arvasar. Kan becholo shel mu'ed. Do you remember Rabbi Shimon? He makes a difference between the 14th and the mu'ed. On the 14th, correct, only Pesach is subject to lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi, because it's the zman. On the mu'ed, however, all other korbanot are included. And therefore we can answer the stida between saying that, for example, the milika, that's it, it's not subject to Lo Tishchat, that's on Yudalit. Milika that is subject, that's talking about the Moed. Therefore, answer, it's talking about two different days. And the Gemara says, V'idi V'idi, Rabbi Shimoni. And both statements are Rabbi Shimon. Let's read Rashi, Milika Milika Lo Kashya. Kamaita De Patar, the first part that said Milika is Patur, that's talking about the 14th. Kidetani Babeja. And that writer clearly said it was about the 14th. Vetana off Vuadin Lishar Zivahim. As we said earlier, off is only an example. But Vuadin on the 14th, any Korban, Shelamim, whatever it may be, is going not to be subject to Lo Tishchat. Ela Mishum Durhal Ekubabo Bayom Eharat Tamid Nakatle. Like we said, it was the Derech that Korban would be brought on. Eid Pesach after the Korban Tamid, so it chose that. Veresha de Matita Batraita. Oh, at the beginning of the second Braita, Diktani Nami Lo Amru Ela Pesach Belvad. that also said only Pesach. That's also Rabbi Shimon Amra Ve'arba Asarkai. That's also on the 14th. Ve'had Shuchet, Ve'had Zorek, Ve'had Mezeh, De'sefa B'chonos Shel Mo'ed Ka'amar, Ve'ashme'inan Hayubal Le'zorek U'molek Ke'shuchet, De'lotem Ha'shechita Davka. And the Hadush of the Braita is that what? That a molek is like a shochet, because the pasuk is not a shechat. And therefore it's coming to include that not only shechita mamash, even a zorek, and for that matter even a mazeh has a deen of a shochet. But it's only talking on chol ha-moed. So therefore we answer the stira. And the Gemara says, haktara haktara namela kasha. Now once you're already saying this, I can answer the stira from haktara to haktara. And I could say, what was the stira? One braita said, the Kohen that's maktir is hayav, because he's subject to loyalin. And the other braita said that the maktir is patur. He's not subject. Man, how do you reconcile? So the Gemara says, tana'i. Well, I could say this is actually mahloka tana'im regarding haktara. How? The ika de makish haktara l'shchita, v'ikaman de lo makish. Which means, there's a tana that compares haktara to shechita, and whatever is the law by shechita will apply to haktara, and there's this rabbi that does not connect haktara to shechita, and that's the opinion that will say patur. Rashi, tana'i. Hale tartes tameh tana'i v'alibad Rabbi Shimon mor makish haktara la'avodat hadam hu'il v'yishno bahalanat emurim. Which means, just like haktara is shayach loyalin, so therefore we'll say it's subject to the law of lo tishchat al chametz. Just like lo tishchat is only applied to people that are shayach by loyalin, so haktara also that shayach to loyalin is compared to shechita, therefore it's going to be subject. Omor let le'ayek keshad shechita ka'amar rahmana. Torah says lo tishchat. It doesn't say lo taktir, and therefore haktara is not included. Oh, but you told me zirika is included. Because zirika is not shechita, so she says, "V'zirika demetrabe behedya midam zivchi." Zirika, you have another derash for that, dam zivchi. So therefore, the machloket between the two brayot is you include haktara or not. So basically, what the Gemara did here is in two answers, two different answers, you answered all our questions. Right. First of all, you separated the categories of the two brayot between the 14th and Pesach itself. Now, once you give that answer, and you said, going to be Shimon. On Erev Pesach itself, the 14th, the only Korban, lo amru ela be Pesach bilvad. Which is Rabbi Shimon Chita. Meaning, a guy brings a shelamim on Erev Pesach, or a guy brings milikata off on Erev Pesach. It's Pesach time now. The only thing you over on the shat is Pesach. That's it, nothing else. But the other brayta said, hadamazeh, what are the guy sprinkling? How's that? Oh, that's on Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, once it's not the time for Korban Pesach anymore, any Korban is subject to Lotushat al-Hametz. Meaning, if a guy brings Milikata off on Chol HaMoed, and he's got Hametz in his possession, he's over. He's over. So that's the way you answer that. Oh, and now we can answer the Stida in the Braita itself. The beginning of the Braita that said, Lo Amru Elav Pesach Bilvad, was on the 14th. Echad HaMazeh is on Chol HaMoed. So you have to say in one Braita, they switched days in the blight. Resha bi yudalit sefa bechol ha-moed. Third stira, haktara ta'haktara, that's time of machloket tana'im. Which means you have a machloket tana'im, is haktara, the kohen that's bringing the chaylev on the mezbeah, is that compared to shechita or not? Because the Torah doesn't say no taktir, the Torah says no tishchat al-hametz. So if you say, but haktara is similar to shechita, how? Because since shechita is subject only to the people that are subject to loyalin, but you can't leave it over. And the haktara also, the maktir is also subject to loyalin, so you would make a kish. Some say, no. It says no tishchat. It doesn't say no taktir, so the maktir is not over. Either zorek is over. Zorek, we have a different derasha. Dam zivchi, we have a special gezanta katub on that. So therefore, all our questions are answered. Comes the Gemara further. Rabbi Yehuda omer afa tamid. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, even the korban tamid. Now where did he get that from? So the Gemara says, my tamad Rabbi Yehuda, Amar lecha zivhi zlo tishchat al chametz dam zivhi. Now,
It doesn't say dama zevach, the blood of the zevach. It says zevchi by zevach, as if it's talking about a special one, right? So the Gemara says zevach hamiyuhadli, the korban that is special to me. Umaynihu, and what is the special korban? Tamid, like the Torah says, et korbani lahmi. Right, but the korban tamid, God calls it my korban. So from the fact that it says zivhi, it's coming to include even the tamid is subject to the law of lo teshchat al chametz. Rabbi Shimon Omer, haPesach be'arba'asar. Now Rabbi Shimon made a hiluk. He said on Pesach, meaning Erev Pesach the 14th, only korban Pesach is subject to the law of lo teshchat. The rest of the mu'ed, every korban is subject. So the Gemara wants to understand now, where did you get this haluk from? Why on Erev Pesach only korban Pesach, and why on Chol HaMoed any korban? Sheila, what's the haluk? My ta'amad Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason of Rabbi Shimon? Dichtiv zivhi zivhi terezimne, which means if you look in the Pesukim, it says it twice. One Pesuk is in Shemot Chav Gimal Yudchet, Lo Tizbach Al Hametz Dam Zivchit. That's the Pesuk we've been talking about. There's another Pesuk in Shemot Lamed Dalet Chafe, Lo Tishchat Al Hametz Dam Zivchit. Same Pesuk. It's written twice. Oh, once it's written twice, Zivchit, Zivchit. So now, we're going to obviously say, it's talking about two different times. But how? So the Gemara says like this. We have that pasuk that's written twice. Karibe zevach zevachai. Which means like this. Take the yud of one of the zevchis. Take the yud off. And put it on the other zevchai. So now you made one word zevach. And you made one word zevachai.
With two yuds.
Right. That's his derash now. Now zevach is singular. And zevachai is plural. So the Gemara says, "Lemay hilcheta palginu rachmana mehadade velo ketiv zevachai," which means if the Torah wanted to tell us that all korbanot are subject to this lo teshchat, it just said one pasuk, "Lo teshchat al hametz dam zevachai," and I would know that what every korban is subject. Why did the Torah have to split it? Meaning, one time say zevach, according to this derash, and one time say zevachai. Meaning, you want to include every korban? Just say zevachai once. What do you have to? So why did that split? Lememar bizman diika zevach lo mechayev. When the korban pesach is subject to being brought, meaning on the 14th. So lo teshchat al chametz dam zevach. That's why the pesach only korban pesach. Azevach diika zevach lo mechayev azevachai. At the time of zevach, you're not going to be hayav on other korbanot. Bisman deleka zevach mechayev azevachai. So therefore, on moed you're going to be hayav. So it's from the double language. Comes the Gemara and continues. Now we go back to Adina now Mishnah. Uba moed lishmo patur. What do we say in our Mishnah? A person comes on the Mu'ed and he has a Qurban that he had designated for Qurban Pesach. But it's not the Qurban Pesach time anymore. And the guy brought the Qurban, he made Shechita L'Shem Pesach. What's the deen if a guy brings a Qurban Pesach on the Mu'ed L'Shem Pesach? You're not Oved anything. You're not Oved Lo Teshchat Al Chametz. Why? Because that Shechita is not a Shechita. Right? The Kavana Lishma ruins it on the Mu'ed. However, if a guy went on Chol HaMoed Pesach and he took a Qurban that he designated for Qurban Pesach and he did it Lishem Shelamim, it is a Shelamim. Therefore it's a Shechita. Therefore if he had Chametz in his possession, he's Oved. He'll be Oved. So now the Gemara analyzes that second side of the question. When the guy comes with a Biferush Kavana Lishem Shelamim, he's going to be Oved. So the Gemara makes a deduction. Ta'ama de Shelo Lishmo. The reason why you're going to be Hayav, because you had a clear Kavana Shelo Lishmo. Shelo Lishmo means not Lishem Pesach, Ela Lishem Shelamim. Hastama Patur. Mashma, that if he didn't have any Kavana, meaning Stam, you just made Shaita blanket Kavana, you're going to be patur, implying that the blanket kavana, stamped kavana, is Pesach. Right? And since having a kavana for Pesach on
Mu'ed is not a shechita. So therefore, the Chiddush the Gemara is telling you at this point, oh, you need to uproot. You need to uproot, which means stam it's a Pesach. You want to turn this into a shelamim, you have to have a kavana negid. You have to have a kavana shelamim. Stam kavana, it's still Pesach.
But why?
Because the Gemishnah said that only if you have a kavana shelo lishma, implying that if you didn't have a kavana stam, stop is going to be a Pesach.
It was designated.
But why did the Mishnah have to go? It is a Pesach, by the way. By the way, you designated it for Pesach. That's the case. You designated it for Pesach. So therefore, you have to change it. Hashtama, it's nothing. It says it's a Pesach. Yeah. So Gemara says, Amai. Gemara says, why? Pesach. Bishar Yemot Hashana. Shelamim Habe. We know that a Korban Pesach, the rest of the year, is brought as a Shelamim. Shmat mina. So obviously we're going to learn from here. Pesach b'shar yemot hashana b'ayakira. So are you going to tell me here? Even the rest of the year, it's only a shelamim when you uproot. So the Gemara is really asking this question: does it need to be uprooted, or is it enough to be stam? That's really the question. Amar v'chiyah bar gamda nizreka mepi habura. Which means, in the yeshiva, when this question came up, it was thrown out from the members of the group. Meaning that she says, "Kulam hudu badavar." Everybody agreed. The whole chabura and the yeshiva all agreed to the following halakha. Ve'amru, and they said, "Kegon shayu be'alim tim'imit." To my specific case, our mishnah is to my specific case. The owners of the korban on Pesach Rishon were tim'imit. They had designated a korban. What happened? They became tumeimit. So they were not able to bring this korban. V'nidhin lePesach Sheni. So they pushed now to what? Pesach Sheni, which is we...
1 month later.
More than a month later, on the 14th day of Iyar, there's a makeup date for those that did not bring up the korban Pesach the first month. D'stama l'shum Pesach kai. In this case over here, stam is going to be Pesach. Because the fair assumption is, when a guy comes on the 14th of Iyar, and the guy was Tameh on the first Pesach, so now you take this Qurban, and they store it with stam. What's stam in this case? Stam, you say, well, what was he bringing it for? You have already evidence, like circumstantial evidence. The guy was Tameh the first Pesach. He's coming on the 14th of Iyar with another Qurban that was designated for Pesach. And he did it stam. There the stam is going to be for Pesach. But in a regular case, stam will be shelamim. And therefore, that's the case of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that you have to be explicit. That's only in a case where it's a korban Pesach Sheni, where the stam is going to be the Pesach. But a regular stam, meaning a regular guy in the middle of the year, a guy comes in the middle of the year with a Korban Pesach, that was designated for Korban Pesach, and he's Shohed, it's Stam, it is Shelamim. Which means, yes. So therefore, again, we're saying a Hadush now. I'm saying a Hadush again. It depends. If it's a case of a regular guy during the year that comes with a Korban Pesach that he had, he didn't bring it on Pesach, and he's Shohed, it's Stam, you say shelamim. You don't have to be okir. You don't have to have a kavanah nigid. Even stam during the year, it's shelamim. But a guy that comes, right? He was pasul on Pesach Yishor, and he comes on Pesach Sheni. That guy over there, what do you say stam he's bringing it for? What is he bringing it for? Stam, you say, is for Pesach. So therefore, in that case, you're going to need an akira. There, to uproot the status of Pesach, not enough to be stam. You're going to have to be
naked.
Then you're going to have to be dafka lishma. So that's the Gemara's chiduk, when you need akira and when you don't need akira. Okay, so by the way, it's not even if he comes on Pesach Sheni dafka. He can come anytime before, since the item is omid for Korban Pesach, technically. So therefore you need an akira to go kenega. I'm just giving you the example. Idavka came on that day, but what did he came before? Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah discusses the procedure of how they brought Korban Pesach in the olden days, Bezman Shevet HaMikdash Kayam. It's going to give you the order of the day.
So Mishnah says, a Pesach nishchat b'shalosh kitot.
Okay, first of all, the Pesach was slaughtered in three groups. Meaning you had the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. Basically what the Mishnah is going to tell us is, they would fill up the Azara with as many Jews as they could fit. They would lock the doors, as we'll see. And then they would slaughter. They would open the doors, that group would leave. A second group of Jews would come in. They would slaughter the Korban Pesach and the Azara. They would exit, and then a third group. And the Mishnah is telling us that's a din. Meaning you must split B'nai Yisrael into three distinct groups to bring the Korban Pesach. Which means, let's say you could fit them all in one. No, you have to split them up into three groups. Why? The Mishnah says, HaPesach nishchat b'shalosh kitot. Shne'emar v'shachatu oto kol kehal adat Yisrael. So kehal adat, the same Mishnah says kehal ve'edav Yisrael. The fact that Torah gives you three words, kehal would be a congregation, edah is also a group of people, v'Yisrael is a group of Yisrael. So therefore, it's three. Okay, that's the first din. Nichnesa katerishona. Okay, so the first group enters the Azara. Nitmalea Azara. Once the Azara becomes full of people, Na'alu dalto ta'azara. So they lock the doors of the Azara, meaning no more people can enter. Tak'u heri'u ve'tak'u. So the custom was whenever they would bring a Korban Sibur, so the Kohanim would blow on Chasoserot, special trumpets. They would blow a Tiki'ah, Teru'ah, Tiki'ah. They would blow the shofar. At the time of the Shechita, they're blowing the horns. Hakohanim Odim Shurot Shurot. Now the Kohanim in the Azara would stand on the side of the Azara in rows. Straight rows.
Line up.
Ubideim Bazikhe Kesef Ubazikhe Zahav. And each Kohen is holding either a cup of Bazikhe, like a cup that's receptacle, either of gold or silver. Shurash Shekula Kesef Kesef. Veshurash Shekula Zahav Zahav. And they kept the rows equal, meaning a row that was all gold, they kept gold, and a row that's all silver, they just kept silver. Lo hayu me'oravin. They did not mix, people with gold and silver in the same row. Ve'lo hayu lebazichim shulayim. These cups did not have a base. There was not a flat bottom. They came to a point. Why? Shem yanihum v'yikrash adam. Because they're worried that maybe the Quran will place the bazich down and the blood will congeal. And what's the problem? The problem is like this. You see, as we're going to discuss now, there was a conveyor belt. A person would make shechita and the azara, and they would have to pass and the Quran would catch the blood in one of these bazichim. Now that blood has to be sprinkled on the mizbeah. So you have to get the blood from azara all the way to the mizbeah. So they would just pass the cup down from one end to the other hand. Now you have to imagine this is happening with hundreds of Korban Pesach. So, there's blood being transferred from one point to the Azara all the way to the Mizbeach. Now the concern is that the Kohen becomes very busy, so he might take the Bazik that he has in his hand for a second and place it down on the floor till he's doing something else. Now what's going to happen if he puts it down on the floor? The blood congeals. You leave the blood without moving it, it congeals. So therefore what happens? Now, that blood was not sprinkled on the Mizbeah. If the blood is not sprinkled on the Mizbeah, the Korban Pesach is invalid. So they don't want the Kohanim for a moment to even think that they're going to put the Bazich down. So what did they do? The Bazichim did not have Shulayim. No base. It came to a point. So the Kohen has no choice. He's got to always hold it. So that'll guarantee it'll get to the Mizbeah when it's still blood.
Snow cone.
Exactly. Like a funnel. Snow cone. Same thing. Shachat Yisrael. Okay. Yisrael was Shochet. The Chadush of Mishnah, as the Gemara is going to tell us, Shechita can be done even by a Yisrael. You don't need a Kohen to do the Shechita. You don't need it. So even Shechita is Kasher Bezar. That's Halakha. Shachat Yisrael Vekibel HaKohen. The first thing the Kohen does is he has to receive the blood from the neck of the animal. He takes one of these Bazichim that he has in his hands and he catches the blood. Notno lachavero. Now that Kohen, with his right hand, passes it to the fellow next to him and gives it to him. Lachavero, lachavero. And they keep on like a conveyor belt, just passing the blood down, one Kohen to the other. Umikabele tamale. The second Kohen online, let's say, receives the maneh, he receives the full bazich, umazir et hanekan, and he returns the empty. So you have two-way traffic. You have the full bazichim going towards the mizbeach, and the empty bazichim
coming back.
So with his right hand, he's giving him the maleh. With his left hand, he's taking the empty one, and he keeps on fills it, and he gives it back, and it's just going around. Kohen akarub etzel mizbeach. Now the kohen that's the closest to the mizbeach, he's the last kohen on the line. Zorko zerika achat keneged hayisod. With the bazik itself, in the bazik, he doesn't have to touch the blood with his hands. The only qurban that you have to touch the blood with your hands is qurban hatat. But besides qurban hatat, you can just keep it in the keli, and he just throws the blood connected to yesod. Yesod was like a base of the mizbeach that protruded from the bottom of the mizbeach. So he would throw it, let's say, towards the wall of the mizbeach on that side that they had the yesod, because the yesod was not on all four sides. So he would go to the side where the yesod was, throw it against the wall of the mizbeach, and then what happened? It would just trickle down into the base of the mizbeach. Okay, he doesn't throw it into the yesod itself. Keneged the yesod, which means towards the yesod, on that side of the mizbeach, and then it would just go into the mizbeach itself. Now, yatzak kat ishona. Okay, so the first kat does their avodah, they leave. V'nichnesa kat sheniya. And the second group comes in. Yatzta sheniya, nichnesa shilishit. Kema'aseh arishona, kach ma'aseh hashiniya v'ashilishit. Whatever we just said in the first group applies to the second group as well as the third group itself. Kar'u et ha'alel. Now the custom is, the Mishnah says, that at the time of the bringing of the Qurban Pesach, they would recite the halil, which means B'nai Yisrael, which means the halil was recited at the time of the service. The regular halil would say, which is Halleluka, B'sit Yisrael Mimislayim, etc. Now, Im Gamru, Shanu. Now, if let's say they finished all the halil and there were still people bringing the Qurban, they would have to repeat the halil. They start again. V'im Shanu, Shilishu. If they said it a second time and there was still more service to be done, they would say it a third time. Even though, statistically, they never had to repeat the halil the third time. Because the Kohanim was so zariz in the Avodah, that by the time the second halil already, all the Avodah of one group was done. The Biyuda Omer, Mimehem shel kat shelishit, lo higia le'ahavti ki yishma Hashem. He says, the third group, which was the smallest of the groups, it was the last group, they didn't even get to ahavti ki yishma Hashem of the first time.
Wow.
Which means there was so little people, and the Kohanim were so fast at doing what they were doing, so therefore, even before half the halel was recited, they're already done. Mepeneh she'ama mu'atim. Because the people of the third group, there was a small population, so they were able to do it very speedily. Kema'aseu b'chol, kach ma'aseu b'shabbat. Now the Gemara says, whatever we talked about now is talking about, let's say, Erev Pesach falls on the weekday. But the same thing would apply even if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbat. Again, they fill the Azara up, they slaughter, they do the whole process, except Ela, she'akohanim madihim et Azara shelo b'rason hachamim. The only thing is, on Shabbat, the Kohanim would clean the Azara from blood against the will of the Hachamim. On a normal Erev Pesach during the week, what was the normal procedure? The Azara floor would be filled with blood. You can imagine how many Korbanot were slaughtered, there's blood all over the floor, so they want to clean the Azara. So what would they do? There was an Amat Tamayim, there was like a canal of water that would run right by the Azara. So what they would do is, the Hachamim, they would plug it. So now, instead of the water flowing freely, it would now build up in the Azara itself. So now, the water would just fill up in the Azara, which would be like washing the floor. And all the blood would mix in the water. Right? And then after it gets to a certain height, they open the plug, and now all the water drains out. During the week, that's proper, because they want to keep the Azara clean. On Shabbat, the Hachem didn't want them to be involved in cleaning the Azara, but the Kohanim, it says, did it on Shabbat against the will of the Hakamim. Shelo b'rison Hakamim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos hayam mimaleh midam ha'tarovet. Now another thing the Kohanim used to have a custom to do is, they would take, after the whole thing was brought, right? Now all the blood is on the floor of the Azara. So what they would do is, they would take an empty kos, one of these bazichim, and they would fill it up, just arbitrarily from the blood that's on the floor. They call it damat ta'arovet. Why? Because it's mixed with all the bloods. Zarku zirika ahat al gabei mizbeach. And they would take from that mixed blood and just sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Why would they do that? So the Gemara will explain why would they have to take from the floor of the damat ta'arovet and mix it. Velo adu lo hachamim. The rabbis didn't agree to that. They didn't have to do that. That was not necessary. Okay. Now the Gemara goes into a new point. Mishnah. Ketzad tolin umafshitim. Which we know that one of the services, one of the items that had to be done to the Korban Pesach, is they had to skin it. Not fully, but they had to skin it enough in order to be able to take out the emurim, the insides that go on the mizbeach. So the Gemara Mishnah is going to tell us now what was the procedure in making hafshata. How did they skin the animal? Literally, ketzad tolin umafshitin. Tolin is to suspend it, because obviously it has to be hanging somewhere. And they would flay the animal. That's the way they call it. So the Mishnah says, unkaliyot shel barzel hayu kivu'im baketalim uba'amudim. Unkaliyot are iron hooks shel barzel. They were fixed into the walls of the Hazara, or the, as we'll see, and into the pillars of the butchering place. Jesus was makom bet amet b'chayim. That's where they would slaughter. So over there, they had hooks on the walls. Okay? So that she tells us that this bet amet b'chayim was located to the north of the Mizbeach. Okay? And had 8 very low pillars over there. That supported blocks of wood, and each block had 3 rows of hooks affixed to it. Okay, so there's a lot of hooks basically in the Beit HaMikdash behind. Okay, now what did they do? So it says, Shebehen Tolin. So each guy would take his Korban Pesach, each group, they would hang it on the hook, Umafshitin, and they would skin. Kol mi she'en lo makom detlot ulafshit. But let's say all the hooks are taken. Now, how do you skin?
No more room.
Maklot dakim v'halakim ayusham. So there were sticks, that very smooth sticks in that area over there, and thin sticks as well. The maniach al ketefo v'al katef habero v'tole umafshit. So you have 2 people that would stand across from each other. They would take the stick, put it on their shoulders, you know, across, right? They would hang the animal by its, you know, legs, hanging from the stick itself. And then with their right hands, they themselves would skin it. So they, you know, they have it, they're holding it with their left hand, let's say, you know, on their shoulders, like this, the sticks. And then with the right hand, they would make the hafshata. That's if you don't have the hooks. Okay? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaizer Omer, Yud Dalid, Shehal Yod B'Shabbat. Right, the 14th came out on Shabbat. Maniach Yado Al Ketef Chavero, Ve'Yad Chavero Al Ketefo, Ve'Toleo Mavshi. Which means he holds that on Yud Dalid you couldn't use these sticks. It's a different right. The Shiz Masra, the issue was a Mukseh issue. Some reason these sticks over here were not considered the Bartil tool. And therefore, what do you do now? If you have hooks, no problem. But if it sticks, they're off limits. So therefore, what is the deen? You got to do with your hands. So again, you would stand across from... No, the people. Yeah, they would stand across from each other. Well, yeah, they'd have to skin the animal. Not fully, just enough so the Kohanim could take the insides and put it on the Mizbeah. So now, they stand again across from each other, and they put their hands on each other's shoulders, and they form with their hands like a bar. Exactly. And they put the animal on the bar itself, right, of the hands, and they skin it. Again, they put it over their left hands, so they can make the hafshata with their right hands. Okay, so that's the option according to the B, Eli Ayazir. Comes the Gemara and says, now we continue the process. They continue the process. They ripped it open. Ve'otziyat emurav. Right, so they take out the insides of the animals. Natno netano bemegis. they put it in a megis, that's like a klisharet, that's a certain vessel that holds the basar of the korbanot. V'chtira, and I'll give him a mizbeach. Okay, then they put it on the mizbeach, meaning that's the korban itself. Yatzta katerishona v'yashba la b'har abayit. Now, we're talking about Erev Pesach Shechalot b'Shabbat. The deen is, well, shechita is doche Shabbat, but siliya is not. So they couldn't roast on Erev Pesach. Okay, so now what do they do? So now they got to wait until Motzei Pesach in order to do the Motzei Shabbat to do the roast. Where's everybody going to sit now? And it has to be done in Yerushalayim. So therefore the Gemara says, the first group would leave and they would sit in Harabayit. They would go to the Temple Mount and they would all, camp out over there. Shiniya Behel. The second group would camp out at a place in the Beit HaMikdash area called the Hel. Just what do they call the hail in the English? The second group, the hail, he says a 10 amah distance from the Zrat Nashim. Okay? There was a certain curtain. They would call that the Soreg, okay, which was made out of actually strips of wood. And the 10 amah area that rose from the Soreg to the wall of the woman's courtyard was called the hail. So the second group, they would actually go through the Izzat Nashim to this area, and they would camp out over there. That Shirishit Bimkomam Omedet. And the third group stays in the Azara. They don't move anywhere. So therefore, basically, we have three different stations where the people on Shabbat would stay, and then Hashecha, Yetzu V'Sadu V'Pesachim. Once Motzei Shabbat, now they carry the Korban Pesach to where they have to carry it. That they have, it's raw meat, and they would go and roast the Korban Pesach. Okay, so that's basically the custom that they used to do in the Beit HaMikdash.
So what did they do with the Korban while it was, in other words,
they're sitting there with the Korban, they're sitting there with a piece of meat.
But they took, the first group, let's say, took it out with them?
Correct, you're allowed to carry it, you're still within the wall of Yerushalayim.
No problem.
Yeah. The problem is now, what are you doing? You can't roast it, you can't go anywhere, can't travel further. So therefore they waited. Comes the Gemara. Amar of Yitzhak. En a Pesach neshchat ela begimel kitot shel shiloshim shiloshim bnei adam. Now we're telling you another Hiddush. Not only is three groups, but the groups have to be at least of 30. Now this is a vague statement. The Gemara is going to ask what this means. My ta'ama, what's the reason? Kahal ve'eda v'Yisrael. Each one of these is mashma 10 people. So therefore, it's telling you need three groups of 30. So the Gemara asks, misafkalan. We have a safik. I bebat achat, I beze achar ze. What does this statement mean? Does it mean each group needs to have 30? Or does it mean you need at least 30 altogether? Meaning at least you need at least 10 new guys in each group that are bringing the Korban Pesach, or is it 30 in each group? What's the statement of the Gemara was, Ena Pesach Neshat Ela Begimel Kitot Shel Shiloshim Shiloshim. Is Shiloshim Shiloshim in each group, or all together in the three groups you had at least 30? So the Gemara is Hilkach. How do you get around the Sefek? You have to be Mahmir. So what do you do? Ba'inan Shalosh Kitot Shel Shiloshim Shiloshim Bnei Adam. Finish. So cover yourself. So make sure in each group you have 30. What? Di'ibivatachat ha'ika. If it's each group, you have 30 in each group. Di'ibizacharze ha'ika. Well, the more so. Hey, if it's at least 10 in each group, hey, you have 90. Right? You have 30 in each group, so all the more so you cover. Good. Hilkach. Oh, but based on this, to cover yourself, you don't need 90. The minimum amount of people to cover the sefek, the Gemara says, b'hamshin namesagya. 50 people will cover the sefek. How? You have 30 people in the first group. Okay, that's need to cover. Okay, good. Now, what will happen? They slaughter the Korban Pesach. Okay? Now, da'ile taltin. Okay, 30 went into the first group. Da'avre. And they bring the Korban. Aile asara v'nafke asara. Let 10 guys from the first 30 leave. Now you have 20. Let 10 new guys go in. So now you have 10 new guys in the group of 30. So you're covered as well. Now, Again, let another 10 go out. For the third group, a new 10 walk in. You still have the 20 guys there. You have 30. So technically, with 50 people,
you could accomplish.
Which was telling you, if you had less than 50 people, you can't bring the Korban Pesach. Which is the Korban Pesach must be brought in this format. And it must be brought in this way to cover the sefik. So, like we said, 50 is the minimum. Comes the Gemara's nechnesa kat nishona. So what do we say? The first group enters the Beit HaMikdash. The Azara. The Mishnah says that what did they do? They would lock the door. So we have a machloket. Did they lock the door? Or did the door lock by itself? Meaning, was it a miracle? So the Gemara says, Itmar Abaye Amar Nina'alu Tehom. Abaye says it, the Mishnah says, Nina'alu, meaning they locked the door. Rava Amar, sorry. Abaye says, Nina'alu. Nina'alu is mashma by itself, automatically, miracle. Rava Amar, No'alin Tena. No'alin, you lock. Okay? My Benai, what's the difference? Ika Benai le Mismach Anisa. Could you rely on a miracle? No. Now you say, big deal, what's the difference over here? It's not such a major thing. No, it is a major thing because, as we said, you need to store the Korban Pesach into three groups. Now, if you're going to rely on a miracle over here, you're putting yourself in a halachic position because if the Hazara becomes so filled in the first group, you might not be able to make a third group, which is if the first two groups are very packed, so therefore, one rabbi says, you got to lock it yourself. Because you got to count it. You got to say, no, you got to stay for the third group. But if you're going to rely on now, the doors closing by themselves, you're relying on a miracle that can bring you to a problem in the halakha. Because, right?
You only have two groups.
That's right, you might only have two groups if we can bring the Korban Pesach in such a way. So therefore, that's the machloket. Do you rely on a miracle on such a case? Or not? Abaye amar nina'alu tenan. Closes by itself. As many people want to go in, just keep on piling in. There's some chinan anisa, and you can rely on the miracle that Borei Olam will close the doors without jeopardizing the third group. No. You got to close it manually. So the Gemara says, now we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Has v'shalom she'akavya ben mehalal el nitnadeh. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Eduyot. Over there the Mishnah says that there was a rabbi called Akavya ben mehalal el. He made, at least according to the, allegedly according to the version of the Mishnah, he made some disparaging statements against Shemayan Avtalion, who incidentally were converts. So the Gemara, the Mishnah records there that because he spoke a little disparagingly about the Shemayan Avtalion, so they put him in Hirim. And the Mishnah goes on to say they even died in his Hirim and they stoned his graves. So the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom, you got the wrong guy. Akavya bin Mahalal El was not the one that they excommunicated. You know why? Because he was a great man. How does the Mishnah show us his greatness? She'en azara nin'elet al kol adam b'Yisrael b'chokhma u'b'yirat het k'akavya ben mahalal el. Meaning, when the doors of the azara on Erev Pesach were closed, were locked, thousands of people in the azara, he was the greatest out of all of them. Which you couldn't find in the throngs and masses of people on Erev Pesach when the doors of the azara were locked. Out of all those people, the biggest shirat hit, and the wisest of all them, was Akavya bin Mahalal El. So therefore, you got the wrong guy. He wasn't the one putting the hirim. But how are you going to explain this Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says, "In azaran nin'ailit." So Abaye and Rabbah are going to have to explain this Mishnah, each one according to their opinion. And the Gemara says, Abaye metrefse tameh, the Rabbah metrefse tameh. Each rabbi will explain according to the way he said. Abaye metrefse tameh, en ba'azra b'sha'at shenin'ila al kol adam b'Yisrael. He'll learn it nin'ila when it closed by itself. Be'okhmah b'lat hayat kakibim al-alev. Rabbah metrefse tameh, en ba'azra b'sha'at shenu'alin ota al kol yisrael be'okhmah b'lat hayat kakibim al-alev. Each one will learn it accordingly. Is it either no'alin or nin'alin? And when I continue, start a Rabbanan. מעולם lo nitma'ech adam ba'azara. A person was never trampled in the azara. Now you can imagine the crowds. And everybody's, you know, pushing and it's back and forth in the azara. So never was a person trampled in the azara on Erev Pesach. Chutz me Pesach echad. Except happened once. Shaya bime Hillel. The times of Hillel, shenitma'ech bo zaken echad. One old man became trampled. Ve'ayu kolin oto Pesach me'uchin. That year they nicknamed that Pesach, Pesach of the trampling. Pesach me'uchin. Now incidentally, according to the Sha'ara Gilgulim, they said this wasn't any man. This man deserved to be trampled. If you remember, as the story goes in the Navi, the Prophet Elisha once predicted that there was it was a time of famine. He predicted that on the following morning there's going to be a tremendous amount of surplus, that they're going to be selling wheat and barley at very, very cheap. Great quantities for very, very cheap. So there was an old man over there who was a skeptic, and he came along and he was very, very critical. He said, impossible, it's not going to happen. So the Prophet Elisha cursed him and said, you're going to see it, but you're not going to benefit from it. And that man who was standing by the gate, when the prices dropped, so everybody came to buy the wheat, so he got trampled. And he died as a result. So he saw it, and he died. So this guy, he needed another tikkun to get trampled once again. So therefore you shouldn't think that this was again not destined, this was destined from God. That this guy came back again at the Qurban Pesach, and he got trampled yet a second time. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Pamahat Bikesh Agrifas HaMelech Viten Ayna B'Ukhlusi Yisrael. Agrifas the king, he wanted to calculate the population of the Jewish people. Okay, he wanted to see how many Jews there were. Amar le Kohen Gadol. So he tells the Kohen Gadol, Ten Aynecha B'Pesachim. Listen, the best time to count the Jewish people is when Erev Pesach. All the Jews are in the Azara. So therefore, you know, pay attention at the time of the Korban Pesach, and give me a count, a census. So how did he count them? We know you're not allowed to count Jews by the head. Yeah. Right? For the parasha of Ki Tesav Machazit HaShekel. So what did he do? Natal Kulya Mikol Echad. So he took from every member, he took a Kulya. Kulya is the kidney of the animal. So he's counting the kidneys. He took one kidney, put it on the side. The Nimse'u Sham, how many kidneys were there at the end? 600,000 pairs of kelayot, which means there was 1.2 million korbanot brought on Erev Pesach. Kiflayim ki yotzei Mitzrayim. Double the amount of people that came out of Egypt. 600,000 men came out of Egypt. This was double. Good. Chutz metameh. Now this is not including the people that were tameh, who could not bring the korban. B'shaya bederech rehoka. And also the people that were far away, that could not make it back. Now, we're not finished. Ve'en lecha kol pesach o pesach, shelo nimnu alav yoter ma'asara b'nei adam. Each korban pesach has a group, and there's no group smaller than 10 people. So therefore, if you have 1.2 million korbanot, and you have 10 in each group, it's a minimum of 12 million people. So that's the way they were. That was that year of Agnifas' census. Vayu korin oto pesach me'ubin. There they called it the populated pesach me'ubin. Milashon av. Av is thick, meaning all wide, a lot of people. Natal Kulya? The Gemara says, hold it. How was the Kohen able to count by taking a Kulya? Now how do we explain the Kulya? Right? How was he able to do that?
One of the Emurim, right?
The kidney, good. Habae Akhtura? The kidney goes on the Mizbeah. Can't use these items as a counting device. You gotta sacrifice them. So the Quran says, "Dehadar b'chtirlu." Yeah. After he counted them, he threw them on the mizbeah. The Quran says, "No, v'aketiv v'chtiro shelo ye'irav chalavav shel ze baze." You can't mix korbanot of one guy with another guy. V'chtiro. Each one has to be sacrificed individually. The Gemara's master, that after he counted them, he just took all the kidneys and just threw on the Mizbeah. What are you mixing all the korbanot together? Must know. Da'adar maktidlu hada hada. They brought one at a time. They threw one kidney on the Mizbeach at a time in order that each one will be, you know, burnt separately. Kibra says, Vehat tanya, but didn't we learn in the Braita, Viktiram, Shiyehu kulo ke'ehad. Which means it's matter the parts of the animal have to be burnt at the same time. You can't burn three quarters of the animal immediately, and then an hour later you throw the kidney on the Mizbeach. It's got to be done. Bevatahat. So the Gemara answers, Ela tefisa be'alma de shakil minayu. Now all the Kohen did was, he took the kidney, let's say, and he lifted it up. He made tefisa on it. Until somebody else took something else as a sign. Meaning, you had a guy standing with rocks, or pebbles, or nuts, whatever it was. So he would pick up the kulya, the guy would see it, take a pebble, put it on the side. At the end, they would count the pebbles or the rocks, whatever it was. But the kulya would go on the mizbeah immediately with the rest of the emurim. Comes the Gemara and continues. Kohanim omdim shurot. So it says the kohanim would stand in rows. Now it says the rows with the golden bazichim would be all gold. The rows of the silver bazichim would be all silver. They wouldn't mix. My tama, what's the reason? Ilima dilma shekled dehava umeile de kaspa. Because maybe you're worried that what's going to happen is you're going to have a switch. You're going to the shekled dehava. He's going to take a gold and give back a silver. Now what's the problem? So the problem is, your problem is you went down. Which means you're supposed to go up in Kodesh. Here, you know, the guy, he gave him a gold one, he gives him back a silver one, so now you lowered the level, so you want to keep everything on the same madriga. So the Gemara says, ha chanameh, he says here also, dilma shekleh bar matan umaile barmea. What do you mean? Let's say they're all gold. Some gold in bazichim are worth more, right? Maybe he's going to take a one that's worth 200 and give back that's worth only one that's 100. So therefore, you're also lowering the kedushan value. So the Gemara says, "Ela dehachi shapir tafe." But that just—it's nothing to do with halakha. There's no ma'ani but kodesh. Even if it was gold to silver, it's. Each one has different blood in it. So therefore, each service is being done separately. Ela, what's the inyan? It's just nicer that way. When you have a gold of all, you know, a row of all gold, and it's not a halachic aesthetics, exactly. It's not a halachic concern that, you know, you're giving a gold and taking a silver where the kedusha is lowering. So even if it was that, it wouldn't be a problem. It's just like you said, aesthetically, it's nice to have the rows. Now, last point. Taru Rabbanan. כל הבזיחים שבמקדש לא היו להם שוליים. We said that they did not have a base, these בזיחים. חוץ מבזיחי לבונה. Except for the bowls of the frankincense. Now we know on Shabbat, they used to put on the table where the lechem panim was, בזיחים, like bowls of gold or whatever, and in it it had frankincense, a certain spice, and they would put it on the shulchan next to the lechem panim. Those had shulayim. All other bazichin in the Beit HaMikdash, no shulayim, but specifically the ones that went on the table had. Why? Shelechem panim, shema yenihum v'yifros alechem. Because the concern was you would place them right next to the lechem. Okay? Now, the lechem, if you ever saw the configuration, they were like a box, which means they had like walls, like flat, hollow on both sides, and they would have walls coming up of the under lechem, like a rectangular type of shape over there, and the walls coming on the side. Now they're very, very, very delicate. So the concern was, you're going to put these bazichim of lebona on the shulchan. If they don't have a base, so you're going to have to lean it against the lechem. So it stands. What's going to happen? They were very heavy. It's going to break the lechem. The wall of the lechem is going to just cave. And what's going to happen? It's pasul. So therefore, when it came to the bazichim of the levona, they got to have a base. Why? So they put it directly on the mizbeah. Baruch Adonai Olam.